the topic is Mitzvah Avos Hashem. I did not put this into the packet, but there is a Chavetz Chaim in the Sefer Shmiras Loshon. So besides what he has, Shmiras Loshon, which is Musar Bechal about keeping Loshon Hara, etc., then he has in the Shmiras Loshon Cheli Beis, he has thoughts on the Parshiyos about Musar, about Loshon Hara. And at the end, he has different thoughts about different things. So, like the second to last parak, I think it is. It's a short parak. It's like the second to last page of the Sefer. At least in the old version, second to last page of the paper. Nowadays, probably it's like 17 pages afterwards because they had so much more. But so over there, he says that he wants to point out that we know that a person puts on tefillin, a person says Shema without putting on tefillin, he's being made Eder Sheker Batzma. He's saying Ukshartum. He's not doing it. So you're saying that I this is the mitzvah and I'm not doing it. So what about saying Ve'ahavta and not doing that? It's also a problem. You say you should love Hashem. You're not doing it. You also like you've been made Eder Sheker Batzma. It's out. Beis, we know that the halacha is that a person hasn't taken lulav yet that day. He's not allowed to eat before he takes a lulav. A person hasn't done a mitzvah which he's mechuyev to do. He hasn't said Kriya Shema yet for the day. He's not allowed to eat before he says Kriya Shema. So, Lachar, you're not allowed to eat before you do the mitzvah of Avos Hashem. Elamai what? Avos Hashem is a constant mitzvah. So, it's a constant mitzvah. It's not a reason why it should be less chomer. It's a reason why it should be more chomer. Say, if the mitzvah of lulav, which is once a day, I can't eat before I do the mitzvah of lulav. If I have not done the mitzvah of Avos Hashem at all today, the fact that it's incumbent upon me every moment is not a reason to say, okay, but that, you know, now I'll eat before doing the mitzvah. Like, why is that? That's not illogical. So, a person not allowed to eat in the morning before he's incumbent upon Avos Hashem. So, it makes sense that a person should, the best appropriate time is, as he's saying, the pasuk of the haftar, he should be mached as Avos Hashem alipoy. And if you have not done that, at least before you leave the shul, before you go on to eat, and after davening, the person has to make sure that they're machlis avos Hashem b'libo. That's the first point that he says. Then he says, take it a step further. How do you do this mitzvah of being machlis avos Hashem b'libo? He says, if a person is a mizbeinen, and all of the chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for him, and all of the care and concern that HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows for him, if he truly appreciates that, he will feel a tremendous feeling of love back to Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Kadosh Baruch Hu being so nice to him, so he feels a feeling of love back to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So that is going to that's how you mach the zavah Hashem b'libo. That's the Chavetz Chaim says. The lashonos that he uses, interestingly enough, are the lashonos that the Chavetz Lvovos uses in Shara Bechina. Now, if the Chavetz Lvovos is divided into multiple shorim, the first shara is Shara Yichud, which in some level there's I don't know what they call it. Where there is suggestion, but the Gra, others discourage not to Shara Yichud nowadays. Shara Yichud is that there were bringing proofs to the existence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, etc., discussing the philosophical questions about those type of things. Okay. Then the next Shara is called Shara Bechina. Shara Bechina is to be Mavkin, which means to come to an understanding of a Kadosh Baruch Hu through his presence in the breeze. Now, the type of arguments that he makes over there are sometimes used to be arguments to prove Hashem exists. But that's clearly not what he planned to do with that, because he already did that in Shara Yichud. Right? His goal over here is to understand our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu exists, I've proven that, I have my philosophical proofs, etc., that Kadosh Baruch Hu exists, etc. But how to understand, what is the Russian's relationship with me? How interested is he in me? And to understand that relationship, that's Shara Bechina. So when I said Amiz Bainan, for example, that the Bershom made the human being with such precision and such the balance which exists in the human being is so perfect that we see that we understand the wisdom of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. when I see that the Mershom provided for all the needs of a human being in a very intelligent way, I see his care and concern. So I'm being mafkin, I'm coming to understand what are his thoughts vis-a-vis the Bria. So that's a different type of point. So the Chofetz Chaim takes those thoughts, uses that as the vehicle to come to Avos Hashem. And he suggests that a person, when he says the pasuk of Ahavta, as Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavecha b'chol nafshecha b'chol me'adecha, the person should stop and do this. So that would obviously require a little more time for davening. In general, I think that we require a little more time for davening than we actually, a lot for davening. So that's that'll be a different share at some point in time. What am I supposed to say? Anyway, okay. So there's multiple pieces over here. I want to start with the page Nun Dalet. So the piece which starts with, it says Mitzvah Gimel. That's a quote. This is a quote from the Rambam Sefer Mitzvahs. Okay, so the first mitzvah in the Sefer Mitzvahs is Emunas in Hashem. The second mitzvah is Yichud Hashem. The third mitzvah is Avos Hashem. He should tivano la'ahavoy yisala. We command the Talov HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do we do this? She nispoiner manaskal mitzvah v'pulisav ashenasigeyu. We should contemplate and understand his commands and his actions until we come to an understanding of it. When he's anig b'hasagosa tachlis atanug, and we should enjoy that. So Rambam says a fascinating idea. If I ask you to describe Avos Hashem is my feeling of love that I appreciate what the Kodesh Baruch is doing for me. That's what the Chofetz Chaim understands. Avos Hashem. So the Rambam comes along and says, you know, when I say I love my wife, it said that, you know, I say, well, I have this feeling of Avos, a karsa toif to my wife. That's not describing my love for my wife. My love for my wife is this all pervasive feeling of connectedness to my wife. That's how you describe love. I have to describe love, it's not a feeling of a karsa toif, it's a feeling of being connected, right? Of enjoying being with her. Right? That's how we would describe love. So Rama says, I'm going to have to find a way to have that definition work vis-a-vis a Kodesh Baruch Hu as well. So what does that mean that I can have a definition of enjoying being with a Kodesh Baruch Hu? Right? That I have a feeling of being connected to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Right? Feeling distraught when I'm not with a person who loves somebody. If he can't get the object of his love, he feels discomfort. He feels frustrated. Right? So the Rambam says that the vehicle which I'm going to use to allow me to do that is that a person should get to the point that thinking about a Kodesh Baruch Hu is enjoyable. I have an oinig in it. Right? Now, let's clarify that. I gave you this moshul once before. I want to go back to it again, so I think it's important to think about it. Rashiva used to always say that there's people who enjoy math. What was the name of that mathematician, that Hungarian mathematician? Erdős, right?
Paul Erdős,
right? Right. So I mentioned him one time, if I recall correctly, right? Right. This fellow, like, you know, he's possibly Avas math. I mean, math. He was Tishka Tomi. He was constantly involved in math. He refused to get married because it would distract for his opportunity to think about math. You know, he didn't even deal with his own finances. He gave it to somebody else to deal with that because it would be a distraction. Vertrachten and learn and beg and math. You know, his goal, he spent his life basically going from city to city, country to country, to schmooze with the biggest mathematicians, the teeth, the math, the conversations which didn't exist, right? So my shir sent me an article about the Scientific American one time, and he says, right, you know, he says, you know, run up top, right idea, wrong track. Wrong train. Right idea, wrong train. You know, that's what he wrote. But she used to say, you know, there's people who love doing this, you know, crossword puzzles. They do Sudoku puzzles. Right? There's people which sit there and they do math problems. Right? That's not terms. That's not a finished board. So what is it that it is? Right? It says, you know, it says that's Talmud 101, you know. So I find Talmud fascinating. Right? So I find philosophy fascinating, sitting and philosophizing. Well, God, is it very enjoyable, etc. So that's not what we're talking about, because again, that's not connecting to Kodesh Baruch. It's connecting to the contemplation of a Kodesh Baruch. Right? I don't connect the math problems. I connect to contemplating math problems. I enjoy exercising my mind. I'm not connected to anything in that sense, right? Right? Says, so, you know, he goes to Kiddush Hashem for the math problem, right? Right? I'm going to get you to the point of Avos Hashem, to the point that you're ready to give up your life. Not because there's nothing else left in your life. As you know, life to me is just math, and if there's no math, I'd rather die. Okay. That's, you know, that's not Avos Hashem. The mitzvah of giving up your life is I have many things and I'm willing to give them up because of my love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I have Lavavra, I have Nafshecha, I have Moedecha, and I'm willing to give it up for my love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because it's a more powerful love. So what is that? So the mashal which I gave you, when talking about referring to learning, right, was the mashal of the Kala gets a letter from her cousin. Right? So Kala gets a letter from her cousin, and she's not sure, you know, in the days before there was phones, and you know, in ancient history, right? She couldn't call up and ask them what it said. She got a letter from her cousin. Right? She doesn't know what it means. She can't read it. She can't figure out what he said. So what would she do? Okay, you know, read it one time. I tried. It's my fault. You know. She said, I know. He's so important to me. I want to know what he says. So she reads it again. Reads it a third time. Reads it a fourth time. Finally, she figures it out. She has such a awe figuring it out, because it's a message from her chassid. She's okay now. I know what it says. I'm not going to read it again. No, that's not true. Right? She reads it again. She enjoys reading it, because this is the vehicle to connect her. He's distant. He's far away. But the expression of his interest and his thoughts is the way she can connect to him through the distance. So every time she reads it, she enjoys that feeling of being connected to him. So, you know, and of course it's stored in a box, right? It's not thrown out. You know, you walk into your wife one time during Pesach cleaning, you see her sitting on the bed with this dreamy look in your face. You know what happened? She found the box, you know, hidden away in the back of the closet. You start reading the things, you know, and she's enjoying reading those letters again. She knows what it says. Right? But it's the connection which those letters are able to represent, which is so pleasurable. I do warn you, you know, for the younger crowd, you're at some point your kids might find that box also and read those letters and say how mushy their father was. Yeah,
that's also good. It teaches
them. Yeah, it also does. That's true.
All right.
But they're still going to make some good comments about it if they're good teenagers. Okay. Divine Light, be careful to make sure that mine had not been found. Okay. And that's not true. I think I've been careful to make sure. So the Rambam is saying that the Kodesh Baruch Hu expresses himself to us in two ways. He expresses himself mitzvoyso b'pulayso. He expresses the Kodesh Baruch Hu expresses himself through his commands. That's the way. That's his roots, and that's his interest in the world. That's what's important to him. That's the message that he expresses himself to us. We know him through his that message. We know him through the action that he does in the Bria, which is also a form of a message. So if I'm misbein in the Pulo Yisov is a way to connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu, I get a tremendous pleasure of feeling that connectedness through being with Spartan. So not that I enjoy science, not that I enjoy astronomy or physics, whatever it is. I enjoy that as a vehicle to see the Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Baruch Hu was expressing himself through the Bria, through his pulas that he did. So I see the wisdom that he put into the world, and I say, wow, this is a Kadosh Baruch Hu expressing his interest in the world, his interest in me. I feel connected to him. That's the Ava that he's trying to, it's the connectedness. That's the, when Nis'anig b'hasagosei tachlis atanu v'zoisi Ava mechuyevis. That's the chiyuv of Ava that we're mechuyev to reach. Okay, quite a madrega. Loshen Sifri, the fish and amber of a half the Zimel Kecho, in their case, and I was at Malcolm, how do you love a Kodesh Baruch Hu? Tamalor, Marbo, you the Ramela Shernach Matsapho Yamal of a Becho, Shtakach Atto, Maker, as Mishomer, Voyo. Okay, so Kabar Beer Lachos, the Kabar means the Sifri is saying that through learning the words of the Torah, you'll recognize Kodesh Baruch Hu, and that's how you fulfill Ava. By contemplating this, understanding it, and truly, and working to understand it, you're going to come to this hasaga, reaching the understanding of that, and that will reach a point of tanug, and your mela ava will come with that. Okay. Then he says the second part of the mitzvah is to make a Kodesh Baruch Hu loved by others as well, which makes sense. Okay. So he says, logical. Why is it logical? Because if I love a Kodesh Baruch Hu, I would want, if I truly love my king, I would like the other members of the kingdom to love the king also. That's my expression of my love. So I say, you know what? Yeah, you know, I love Kodesh Baruch Hu, but get me understood, everybody else. Not me starver. That the person would say that. So that, so the chiyuv is, so he says at the bottom of the bottom line, Rutzer Kamosh Avram Vorsha Hayyav Hashem. He wanted others to join as well. So you should love a Kodesh Baruch Hu to the point you want others to be drawn in to that awareness and that love of a Kodesh Baruch Hu as well. Okay. That is the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos. The Rambam in Yesodei HaTorah, Perek Beis, so say like this: Sakela Nichbad of Nora is a mitzvah l'avoy u'liyiro yisay. There's a mitzvah to love him and a mitzvah to fear him. The Rambam puts the two mitzvahs together. She never v'ahapte es Hashem l'kechem, and never es Hashem l'kechot tira. Ve'echi aderech l'avos of yiro. So how do you get there? V'shosh yizbano adam b'ma'asav v'bruyav v'niflo'im ha'gedolim. If you contemplate the creation of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, he sees the wisdom which is limitless. He has this feeling of love and praise to the point he has this tremendous burning desire to know a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Then he contemplates these same thoughts further. He jumps back. He's scared. He realizes he's this creation, small, dark, nothingness. With this little wisdom, little understanding, is in front of the perfect das of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So David says, I have a tremendous desire. Someone actually loved him like Elchoy. I'm running forward to Kodesh Baruch Hu, and I'm jumping back and looking how small I am. Right? So the Rambam says, so both are true. Now, the Pasha's understanding of the Rambam is that it's a cycle. Right? Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu is willing to reach over this gap and connect to little nobody. Such a tremendous feeling of love
the aunt and Rabbi Rangel, right?
Right, right. my aunt and Rabbi Rangel, right? Right. So Rabbi Rangel is making this connection to the aunt. So the aunt says, "Wow, that's so nice, Rabbi Rangel." But then the aunt says, "Like, hey, I'm overwhelmed by being connected to Rabbi Rangel because he's such a phenomenal being, Rabbi Rangel." Right? Then he says, "You know, but look at that. Even though he's such a phenomenal being, he's willing to connect to me. So I love him. So I'm so overwhelmed by the fact that he's interested in me." And the constant cycle of Avon Yir and Avon Yir. So the Malachim are Rotzai Meshayv. The Malachim run forward, and Meshayv, and then they jump back. They run forward, this trend, this desire to connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and then they jump back from the awe of being there. But what we're saying right now is that but each time they come close, and they realize the greatness of Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that desire to be there, that clarity that they get, makes them jump back further. And each time they contemplate that Bershom, with all of his greatness, is interested in connecting to them, they feel a tremendous desire to come connect. So it builds, the Ava builds the year, and the year builds the Ava. You can't have one without the other. One of the biggest challenges that people have is that if you don't have the if you just have Ava, just love, you know, like, you know, the 60s, just love, you know, right? It creates a situation where the person loses, in a certain sense, loses the awe and the respect of the being that he's dealing with, and then you don't respect his rules either. So how can I say I love a Kadosh Baruch Hu not respecting his rules? So, but the main thing is just love. You know, I love God. You know, I love God. You know, so you'll do anything for God. I said, yeah, I'll do anything for God. He says you shouldn't work on jobs. No, that not. You know, like, you know, I love God. You know, so what does that mean? You know, obviously that would be really ridiculous. So the shmirah of mitzvahs, the year of that, is not the year of I'm afraid I'm gonna get punished. It's the year of that I'm holding something of tremendous value. I don't want to drop it, right? I think the most important, I would say, imagine that you were, you know, you won this lottery, and you're going to be Zarka, they're going to take the most expensive diamond, the heart of Africa, and they're going to put it in your hands. They take it out of the Sasonian, and they let you hold it. So what would your emotions be? It's like the most exciting thing in the world. I'm holding the most precious diamond in the world, the biggest diamond in the world. I'm holding in my own hands. And I'm like, I'm holding both feelings, both emotions are 100% true. I don't know, but the more I realize the value of it and the excitement of it, the more scared I am. If I don't realize any value, there's nothing to be excited about, so I'm not scared about it either. And those two feelings of the simcha and the yira are not steerers to each other. Esel chosan under the chuppah, what are his two emotions? It's the most exciting moment of his life. He's getting married. It's the scariest moment of his life. He's getting married. Right? Why is it exciting? Because I'm entering in this most chashuva thing called marriage. The more I realize the value of it, which is why I'm scared, the more I'm excited. So human beings carry multiple emotions in themselves. And it's not that they're steers each other. That's when one feeds the other. So Av and Yira feed each other. Now, it's interesting over here. The Rambam over here talks about Ma'is of Ruyim and Ifloyim. It does not mention the mitzvahs. The Rambam in Sefer Mitzvahs, in the Girsa which we have, he talks about Mitzvah Sav and Pulei Sav. There's actually a Girsa in the Sefer Mitzvahs which is just mentioned the Mitzvah Sav. So that's Mamash Astira. Over here he says Mitzvah Sav, and there he says Pulei Sav. You know, the Bria, which one is it? So there's a famous word. The Rishi would say over from a person named Ramoto Pogromansky. Now, who of you have heard of Ramoto Pogromansky? Okay. So that's very sad. But I'll tell you why it's so. Ramoto Pogromansky was in Tel Zeshiva, you know, in Slobodka, like the title of Iluyim was given out, you know, it wasn't just given out on purpose, but there's people like Iluyim, like they're called Iluyim. Iluyim's like a genius. In Tel Zeshiva, there's two people in the history of Tel Zeshiva who got the title of Iluyim. One of them was Ramoto Pogromansky. Ramoto Pogromansky was, his father was after a young man. He was a boy. At the age of 11, he took over his father's business. He was in charge. He was running his father's old business. Father owned the factory. He was running the whole factory. He was the manager of the whole factory, dealing with the sales, dealing with the people, etc. Whole thing going. Rebbe Lapian was traveling, came to this little town where he was, and met him and realized that this person is something, he's, you know, there's a tremendous person there. I convinced him to go to learn yeshiva. So he left his business behind, and he went to learn yeshiva for a period of a few months, and then he went back to his town. So Reb Laban came to visit, sent him to tell his yeshiva the first time, and he came back after, you know, and he wasn't there. He went to visit there, like, you know, he had Reb Laban had his sons learning at Tel's yeshiva. So he went to visit his sons. Where is this boy Moti Pogromansky? He went back home. So he traveled special back to the town to bring this boy back. So he came to yeshiva, and so he never really had no background learning. His father died when he was young, and he was basically busy taking care of supporting his family, his mother and the family. So he comes into yeshiva. He has no background, so he goes into the bottom shir. So it tells yeshiva the way there were different levels of shir. The high school had whatever they call it. It had four levels. The base manager had four levels. And then on top of that, there was the fifth level, which was by invitation only. It was Rosh Hashiva Shir, Rav Mitzvah Bloch had a special Shir Hay it was called, which is Thursday nights from 12 midnight until 7 a.m. It's a 7-hour Shir. He would say a pilpul straight for 7 hours. One thought, you know, he would spell a pilpul for 7 hours long. Right? So that was invitation only, obviously, because you know, he didn't want people snoring in the middle of the shir. He wanted people who were going to follow the shir. Ramat Pagramansi, within 2 years, yeshiva was in the top, in that shir.
Wow.
Okay. You get an idea of what type of evil he was. The yeshiva said that he could take, he knew Kabbalah, he knew everything. You know, by the time Reb Gifter came to learn Intels, Ramat was no longer learning Intels, he was living actually in Kovno. And he used to come back to yeshiva to visit. When he'd come back to yeshiva, he would, like, you know, Reb Gifter came close with him. He says he used to say shiurim. He'd take the most difficult concepts in Kabbalah and make it so clear that a little baby could understand it. He was so clear in his understanding. He couldn't write. He had a dyslexia in writing. He had no ability to write. We have nothing written from him. So whatever we have written from him is from the Talmidim who wrote things down. So they have notes. And Shiva said you couldn't take notes when he was talking because, like, it was so captivating you couldn't take notes when he was talking. And afterwards you would, like, try and capture it again, like and you couldn't. It was, like, so frustrating. That's how they describe Moti Pogromansky. It's interesting because so the three Rebbeim here in the yeshiva, Rebbeim, myself, and Rebbe Kreiser, we all have this connection to Moti because Reb Gifter would talk about it all the time. Reb Gifter and Shiva were both very close with them. They would talk about it all the time. He lived in Kovno, and Rebbeim Lapiansky's father, Rebbe Tzion Lapiansky, knew Reb Moti from Kovno. He was close with him in Kovno. So Rebbeim has his stories from his father. After the war, he ended up in Paris together with Rebbeim Kreiser, Rebbe Kreiser's father. And Rebbe Kreiser has his stories about Reb Moti Pogromansky from the tkufa of hearing from his father, that the stories that his father would say over about being with Reb Moti Pogromansky in Paris after the war. So we all, three of us, like, you know, we share up Reb Moti Pogromansky stories. Like, you know, it's like just like this tremendous person. Like, you know, during the ghetto and such, in the Covenant ghetto, there's stories about him, like, you know, like, he was constantly, you know, he said, like, I don't see Germans, I see Psukim and Tanakh. Like, he saw everything through the prism of Torah. He saw the world through Torah. I'll give you one story about his sitkis. Like, after the war, there was a chevra of Mir Bachrim who made it to Paris after the war. And they were sitting with their motel, and the conversation got to the Gemara. The Gemara says that when a person's wearing klaim in his clothing, right, so, and it's klaim deraisa, the loch is, he realizes that he's wearing klaim deraisa, he must take off the clothing. I don't care what come, what may. Miller Street, everybody's around, you take that clothing off. So one of the Bachim said to Reb Moti, so Reb Moti says, yeah, that's the loch. So one of the Bachim said to Reb Moti, says, okay, you know, they were in Paris. He says, okay, Reb Moti, you're standing on top of the Eiffel Tower, and you realize you have klaim in your pants. What are you going to do? He says, I drop off my pants. Take off my pants. So the Bachar said, Reb Moti, all of Paris is staring at you. What are you going to do? Says Reb Moti stopped and he thought, I dropped my pants. Right? That's, you know, but he didn't stop saying it. You know, he sat and thought about it. He said, you know, he, like, that's the person he was. Like, the terror was real to him. So Reb Moti said the following, that's your background to Reb Moti. So Reb Moti said the following story to Imaz with these two Rambams. He says, a person once was taken to the Louvre to see, you know, all the famous paintings there in the Louvre. And he walks in, they show him this, you know, this Picasso, and he says, no, what do you think? He says, it looks like sour milk. Looks like, you know, curdled milk. So he doesn't have any appreciation of art, you know. Okay, you know, it looks like curdled milk. I mean, the truth is, some of the Picasso look like curdled milk, right? But that's what he, you know, you're not supposed to say that, you know. Like, you know, that person clothes. You don't admit that it looks like curdled milk. Okay. So take it to Rembrandt. He says, Zara Milch. Zara Milch is like yogurt, is like curdled milk, you know? Right? So, you know, like after three or four times, like, you know, they take him to, you know, to Van Gogh. Zara Milch. Finally, somebody says, let me see your glasses for a second. They take his glasses off, and on the glasses, there's Zara Milch. So everything looks like Zara Milch. You look to the glasses, it looks like Zara Milch. That's what Malton said. He says, so what's the solution? You clean up the glasses. Now you see it. He says, the person should look at the Bria, and the Bria should scream a Kaddish Baruch Hu to the point that he has a tremendous avod to Kaddish Baruch Hu. The problem is, we don't see a Kaddish Baruch Hu in the Bria. We don't see it. So what's the solution? We have to clean our glasses. So at the Rambam, you learn mitzvoisa. And we're Isaac and Torah, and we're spying in at the Bereshim's commands for us, and we think about that, and we get a catch of the Kaddish Baruch Hu. Then when you walk outside, you see a Kaddish Baruch Hu screaming at you. That's the way to clean off the Zara Milch from your glasses, that you should see a Kaddish Baruch Hu on the Bria. That was his Moshe to Mazur, these two rabbis. Okay. Now, skip down to the bottom of that page. So that's the Rambam in Sedei Torah. Now, there's a Rambam in Hilchos Teshuva, which is a long piece. It's in Perek Yud. It's like the last Perek in Hilchos Teshuva. The piece is gorgeous. I'm not going to go through all of it because we don't have time for it. So it's like this. The person shouldn't do mitzvahs because he's scared about the getting. He wants to get the brachas. He shouldn't be not too various because he's worried about getting punished. That's a very low level of doing mitzvahs. Person who serves Kaddish Baruch Hu through Ava, there's no ulterior motive. Let me Yiras Hara. But like today, Lirish Taiva, Ella Oisa Emes, Neshu Emes, Sefer Taiva Lobbiglo. He does Emes because how could you not want anything else other than that? How could you want other things other than the beauty and the perfection? The reason why I don't go over to the Rembrandt and rip it up is not because I'm going to get punished for it. Right? It's because I see the beauty and the perfection. I don't want to touch it. It's so perfect. So I do the emes of the world because it's so perfect. Like, why would I want to... I'm not being over veris because I'll get punished. I'm doing mitzvahs because I'll get scar. It talks to you so... It's so powerful that it talks to you in itself. I don't need to have other cheshbonos why I'm relating to something. Okay, next paragraph. We can't see Ava Ria. Who she ever Hashem Ava Gedoyla Yisera Aza Ma'od. That Ava Kaddish Baruch Hu should be so powerful and so aza and so penetrating that the person is just tied to it to the point that he's lovesick. She thought the prime Ava, so he's just like a person who's lovesick for a woman. He never stopped thinking about her. We shayga ba, it folds up. Tommy, bein b'shivta bein b'kuma bein b'shal shu oichol b'shoy. So he's constantly contemplating the woman. Yes, mizet hia avas Hashem b'leva oyavov. That's the greater than that level of connection is that ava. Shayga ba Tommy, constantly being shayga in it. K'mo shetzivana b'chol avov kol b'chol nafshecha. Shir Hashirim is all a moshel to explain Avas Hashem. That's what Shir Hashirim is. Okay. Now, skip down to towards the bottom of the pages. The Hasagas of Ravid. So, the Ravid is grappling with the following issue. He doesn't know what this word Shoga means. I'm not sure what he means, he's using that word. We find that Lashon Shir, Kemar Shigoyon LaDavid. Vinyan Acher, that Lashon Meshuga, he's crazy. You become a person who's lovesick. comes dysfunctional versus everything else in his life. So in that sense, he's like a shoygin. So that's maybe what the Rambam means. He says that's what it means, Avas Hashem. The Avas Hashem that we're our goal is obviously it's Shetav Mandrega, and it means it's you know, you got to invest in this. This is something which that you would connect to the point that it's going to overtake your life. There's mice with the Levitzer from Adichiv. That it was the first day of Sukkot, and it was he woke up early to be able to do the mitzvah. It's a proper time for the mitzvah. It's by Nates. So now where does he store his esrog? Where do you store an esrog? He says he put in his break front. You know, that's his most precious item. Like people put their silver there, people put their fancy china there. He put his esrog there. Okay, so he's looking at the clock, and he's waiting for the moment to be able to do the mitzvah. He looks at the clock and realizes it's Netzachama. So he runs to get the esrog. He forgets to open the door. He just smashes his hand through the glass because like he's so excited to do the mitzvah, he forgets that there's glass in the way. Right. That's Ba'avos of Yishkatomi. He's the Chamashogana. Like, you don't stretch your hand through glass. That's stupid, right? But you're so excited about what you're doing that you're not aware of anything other than that. So everything else becomes like it's you don't notice. Obviously it comes with its price, They say that he had the same mice with similar mice with him and came with Chassidim don't wear tefillin cholamoid. So this year Sukkot, right? So Sukkot's gonna come out. It's gonna be Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. Sukkot is 9 days long, and then you add the last day Sukkot will be Shemini Atzeres is Thursday, Simchat Torah is Friday, Shabbos. The person will not have put on tefillin for 10 days. Now, Sunday morning, it's been 11 days since he's put on tefillin. Can you imagine the excitement of putting on tefillin? He hasn't put on tefillin 10. It's the same mice that happened. He had the tefillin, where do you give a tefillin? In the break front, right? Right? So he hasn't put on tefillin for 11 days. The person's like, it's his man tefillin. He runs to get the tefillin. Like, I mean, you should have learned by now, right? Not to do that, right?
Just give me a glass.
Right? Just get rid of the glass. we don't relate to mitzvahs like that. I told the Baruch Hu says that the reason why they put up the sign on the glass going into the Beis Medrash, that big window of glass, they put before they put the fax on base thing over there, they used to have these like three things to notice that there's glass there, because we were worried that Pasha the Baruch Hu comes running to davening. If he's so excited to get the davening, he's going to push and run through the glass. Right? Why else would you want to put the thing over there? Like, why would somebody bump into the glass? Right? Because he's pushing running to davening. Right? Halavai, that's your problem. Right? So it's the Rambam's. The Rambam couldn't write this. As almost, either the Rambam felt this, right, and then he could write it. If he didn't feel it, he didn't know it intrinsically. This was not part of his being. He could not have come up with this. Right? You hear the Rambam talking. So somebody said, Rambam says one place. He says, somebody said the Rambam was a philosopher. He says, you learn this section over here. You realize the Rambam was not a philosopher. He knew philosophy, but he wasn't a philosopher. This is not, philosophers cannot generate such a type of this type of emotion. They're not describing emotion. He's not describing it. He's describing a thought process which generates emotion. Ava is an emotion. I can't say, I have the thought process, therefore I love. I think of it very highly of you, therefore I love you. It's a robot. It's an emotion. The Rama is describing the world of emotions which are generated through the contemplation. That the person becomes creates such an awareness of Kadosh Baruch Hu's reality. Right? Kadosh Baruch Hu is real. The Bereshit is interested in us and he connects to us, and that's the most pleasurable thing which exists in the world. There's nothing more pleasurable like the idea that a human being should be able to connect to his Creator. Is there anything greater in this world? Anything better in this world? That's what I'm saying. There's nothing else in the world. It's like and we, you know, it, by us it's a mitzvah to learn. By the Rambam, it wasn't a mitzvah to learn. It's like, what idiot would do anything else other than that? Right? Like, that's, you know, that's where he's coming from. Like, it's like, what would you do with, what would you want to do with your life other than? And that's like, you know, the definition of a Talmud Chacham, the definition of a person who is this. It's not, I learn because it's a mitzvah. Betzim, I really prefer eating. I remember the Rashi one time was sitting by us Friday night. Was sitting. So we used to have a chabur. We used to go to his house Friday night, and you know, it's called the, tells it called the Navad. Like you would learn something together, and then the Rebbe would put out some type of you know, cake, etc. We'd sing a little bit, etc. So the Rebbe brought out the cake, and a few of the Bachram's eyes, you know, lit up. Cake. So Rashi said to us. He says, "Cake is geschmack. Teir is geschmack." Right. We can't ask in a Mishnah. You can eat a Mishnah. And he started saying over the Mishnah of Eilu Metzius, you know, licking his chops as he's Eilu Metzius Shalei Hash, Eilu Metzius Shalei Hash. Like he was like eating amidst the Mishnah. Okay, like that's how you learn. It's not, you know, because of the intellectual pursuit. It's the Bershom is here. I can have the Bershom in my hands. I can have the greatest reality of connecting to the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Like cake is geschmack. Like that was his reaction. Like, huh? Like, really? Now I once heard from a Rebbe, the Rebbe says, Avichtaga Beinani. So, you know, what's a Beinoni? You know, you come to the, you know, we have the Tzaddikim, the Rishayim, and the Beinoni. So the Beinoni, he says, he enjoys a Geshmak HaShikol cake and a Geshmak HaShikol Torah. That's the Beinoni. Right? It says the Tzaddik enjoys the Geshmak HaShikol Torah and not the cake. The Rosh enjoys the cake and not the Shikol Torah. And the Beinoni enjoys both. So we have hope, at least, that we're Beinonis, you know. We have hope that we're Beinonis, you know. Sometimes the cake is more Geshmak than the Torah, you know, that's the problem. So at this point in time, we've gotten through the Rambams. Okay. Okay. Let's see, maybe we'll do this next. Let's skip a little bit over here. I want to take a look over here at the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. I'm on page Kuf Lamed Vav. So, Va'oid Ulai Shiniskam and La'ar Relev Adam. You see, that's a paragraph which says, Oid Ulai Shiniskam and La'ar Relev Adam. V'shoshimini Ava. Shiyashtim Hakarim and Nivroim. We have three types of love which Nivroim recognize. V'em Ava Satoiv, Ava Sa'orev, Ava Samoyel. Okay, so there's the Rishonim use this, the Acharonim use this, you know, the Gaon talks about it in Mishlei, says the word Tam is Tes, Ayin, Mem, it's Rosh Tevis, Toiv, Orev, and Moil. Toiv is that which is good, Orev that which is pleasant, sweet, and Moil that which is good for you. That which is Moil, it's effective. Right? So we have an ava to toiv, we have an ava to that which is orev, that which is pleasant, an ava to that which is moil, which is beneficial. So Devar Hashem comes, gives us a command vis-a-vis all three things. So we love a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So there's a command to love a Kadosh Baruch Hu. B'shem is a heir halev livichinas ava to toiv. Love HaKadosh Baruch Hu because that is the right thing to do. There's a natural instinct of humans that we like that which is appropriate and that which is right. That's something which we're drawn to it. Kadosh Baruch Hu, Abba Hashem. Kadosh Baruch Hu is, he himself is something which is appropriate to love. B'mashu toiber Ramos b'shem ka'omri toiber Hashem l'ka. Now gam b'cheshek ha'orev b'soid tamuri ki toiber Hashem, and we find that Kadosh Baruch Hu is there's a pleasantness tamuri uki toiber Hashem. There's a word from Rabbi Lapiam. Doesn't say on this pasuk. He says on the Mishnah. Mishnah says he asks Kasha the Mishnah. It says Kakadar Kishal Torah. It says this is the way of Torah. Pasuk Malatoichol, Ma'im B'Masura Tishta, V'La'Oretz Tisha, V'Chay Tzar Tichya. So Ramash eating bread with salt, limited amount of water. You're sleeping on the ground. You have a life of physical pain. Right, that's what Mishnah says. So he had two kashas on the Mishnah. I get. What's Ashrecha b'Adam Azeh? Ashrecha, you're fortunate in this world, right? What? Fortunate in this world. He has mamash. He's eating bread with salt, limited amount of liquid. He doesn't have a bed to sleep in. He has physical yisurim, and that's Ashrecha b'Adam Azeh. I get. What's the shachar b'adam hazeh? Al. Beis. What's the phrase of Mishnah? Imat oisakein. Kachet takosh l'tera. This is the way it is. Shachar b'adam hazeh. What's imat oisakein? So he says, one question answers the other. You're asking me, how is it possible the shachar b'adam hazeh? The answer is, I can't explain it to you. Imat oisakein, if you do it, you'll get it. I can't explain it to you. But I'll tell you, if you live it, you'll understand exactly what I'm talking about. Tamu'u uru'u kitay bashem. When you taste it, you'll get it. Till you taste it, I can't explain it to you. A human being says, explain love to me. I've never experienced love in my life. You know, explain love. Anybody want to tempt it? Right? You can't explain love to somebody, but a person who experienced love knows exactly what it means. Right? So, tamu'u uru'u kitay bashem. You got to taste it. There's no way you can understand it unless you actually do it. Kikola nefesh asher yachiyach shem zel lemula ein a ravis b'chol nivroim shikana se lov be'erech anishtava. There's no a ravis pleasure which exists vis-a-vis the tayva b'kadosh baruch hu. The pleasure of being with the tamu ru'u, the flavor of the pasha, the physical flavor. Okay. So that's the opposite type. So that's v'hafta eis Hashem, love a Kadosh Baruch Hu because of what a Kadosh Baruch Hu is. Then v'avas arev, skip down, mitevis Hashem, like we said, v'avas amoyel ramza ba'amr elokecha. Alder Shamru, Yoshif Tihilos, Kamari Shiksav the Mesamuch, Mazanikal Gamkin Abba Samoil. So, Hashem Elokecha, Kadosh Baruch Hu is the one who is there to take care of all of your needs. He's Elokecha, he's the one who runs the world. See, he's the Moil, he's the one which is beneficial for the world. So, that makes sense that you're Oyv Kadosh Baruch Hu, mitzad the fact that he's Toiv, the fact that he's Orev, the fact that he's Moil. Okay. One of the one more piece from the Aruch Chaim Kodesh. B'chol Levavcha, B'chol Nafsha, next page. Okay. So he says a beautiful thought process. The Mor says that Bani Chaim Azoni La B'schus Atayim Milsa La B'mas Atayim Milsa. That the Mor says that there's three things that a person doesn't get based on schus, he gets based on mazel. Children, Chai umazoni. So you have a person who's the biggest tzaddik in the world. If his mazel is not that he should have pranos, he's not going to have pranos. Chabas Chaim writes in one place, you know, the nature of, you know, people are coming and asking for tzedakah, and they're poor. So there's a nature of the rich person to look down on the poor person. He says, doesn't make any sense. So Bishlam, the reason why you'd be rich is because, you know, you're a better person. So So you're not a better person than the prison necessarily. He says, you're a smarter person. I didn't say smarter than him. So the reason why you're successful is because the person, your mazel, you should be smart, you should be successful, and his mazel, he shouldn't be successful. So what way are you better than him? So how can you look down on somebody else? That's the Kabbalah's time, right? So he says, so mazel, one person is zechah the children, but not the zechah, one person is zechah the good children, but have ill children which are not well, difficult children, you know, quote unquote bad children, right? It's not because one, you can have every two people which are exactly the same every which way. He has success in the skins. He doesn't have success in the skins. You know, al cheshbonus. There's still no. You cannot predict. Right. And chai, you know, whether the person is going to live. Like, you know, that's those are mazal toyimos. She says, look at the pasuk, v'chol levavecha, v'chol nafshecha, v'chol meyadecha. He says. So therefore, it turns out that these three things are the things which we desire the most. We want chayim, we want mezonos, and we want banim. So those three things which are the most desirable things which we want in the Bria are not in our control. Okay? If he's missing any one of them, he feels pushed like his life is personal, right? The person, his physical life is limited. He feels like I'm different than I'm dead compared to the world. He doesn't have children. The person doesn't have Zionists. Right? Shoshim Ainam Tsuyim about the Sigam themselves about the Sashem Avosai. Now it says like this. The Zebon, Dvar Hashem, and Sibaloi Alder Zeshiyarach Abbas Hashem Baliba Mishosh Dvar. Hagam Shitlim Imano. Even though these are taken from you, you still love a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the love of the child that's in your heart. That puzzle fills your heart. You give up your life. So that's your property. That's your mazonos. So the pasuk is saying that there's the three things which are the most things which pasuk define the person's desire in this world. The person says, love me greater than those things. Even though I'm going to take away your bonin, I'm going to take away your life, I'm going to take away your mazarnas, you're still going to love me. That's the pasuk of after Hashem l'kecha b'chol l'bavecha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol meyadecha. So it's a beautiful, you know, I mean, not an easy thing to do, but I push it, the beauty of the Arkayim Kaddish is putting it together in the pasuk. It just jumps out at you. It's such a gorgeous shot in the posting. What are you saying? Okay, I just want to hold this here. I just want to tell you over a word, not here in the packet. It's such a gorgeous word in the parsha. I cannot control myself. Okay. I might have told you before, there's a word from Brazil Tauber on Veschana. Veschana L'Hashem. So Rashi says over there, brings from Chazal, that Tzaddikim, even though the Yesh B'Yodah, they have Torah Ma'asim Tovim, the only Mevakesh Matan Haschin. Right? That's Veschanan Hashem Moshebeno asks for Matan Haschin. So Rabbi Zil Tarber says, let's get this straight. It means you come to the Baruch and say, listen, Baruch Shalom, I want something. I'm willing to pay for it. I'm willing to give her my Torah Ma'asim Tovim to get it. She says, no, Baruch Shalom, you know, I don't want to pay for it. I want to get it for free. So why is that a Shevach of a Tzaddik? He's a cheapskate. He's a dirty Jew. You're a dirty Jew. Instead of paying for it, you want to get it for free. So why is it as a praise of a tzaddik that he asked for matnas chinam? So he gave the following mosh. To imagine the scenario playing out in two ways. Scenario option number one, right? Scene number one. The person is a tremendously wealthy person. It's 1938. And Hitler is about to implement his final solution on the 6 million, on the 9 million Jews which live on the European continent. And you get word of it, and you hear that Hitler is willing to negotiate. You fly to Germany, you put yourself into the lion's jaws, and you meet with Hitler Yimach Shmoy, and you negotiate, and he agrees to let every Jew go. For the tremendous amount of money. You go back and you sell every single property that you have. Every single business that you have, every property that you have, your home, your clothing, your car, and you're left penniless, homeless, with no money in your pocket at all, no food. And you're able to pay the amount of money that you need to pay. You just saved 6 million people's lives. And the guy has not eaten food for 2 days. He's starving. He's starving to death. So he turns his eyes heavenward and says, Rabbi Shalom, I don't deserve breakfast. I mean, look what I did. I saved 6 million lives. Breakfast? Something? A crust of bread? Something? Right. Okay. Scene number two. The same story, same fellow, everything the same. Turns his eyes heavenward and says, Rabbi Shalom, saving a human life, a life of Klai Yisrael, is like saving a whole world. It's Dari Daris. And you were did me a chesed, and you were mazaka me the mitzvah of getting that schus to save a human life. Not once, but 6 million times. I owe you so much a karas atoiv that you gave me so much, you gave me that schus not once, but 6 million times. How can I have the chutzpah to ask for anything more after that? But the mice, I'm really hungry. Would you mind doing me ma'anas kidim and giving me lunch? Give me something to eat. That's pshat in the chazal. Mashiach comes to the person's Jerusalem. I owe you so much. You let me be the person which took Klai Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. You let me be the person which brought Torah to Klai Yisrael. You let me be the person who brought the mon, who brought the sloth, who brought the bear, who brought the anonim. I can never pay you back. If I live a million deals, I can never pay you back. But you're such a Baal Chesed, would you mind also letting me go into Eretz Yisrael? That's Pshat. It's a result of Pshat. To think of the word, you have to be holding by the madrega to think of it. Once you hear it, you say, yeah. How else could you understand this? But it's such a gorgeous word. It's such a gorgeous, but you hear the mensch. Rabbi Tauber said this word. It means he's living by the by that, he's a person who did a train on the gear of Rechaikim. To change people's lives. He started Mechar Raw in Muncie, and for many years he supported it single-handedly. He was the first, Bezdin in America, which he sat and made the Yonim to move towards it. Now there's many which followed suit, etc. But he was the first person who did it. He created a cure organization, Cultural Habits, with Rishim and Pinchas together back in the 80s. He's looking wow, the Russians was asking me so many schusim. How much can I ever give back to Kodesh Baruch Hu? I can ever give back to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Look what I got in life. He's put out swarm. He's given shurim. He has hundreds of tapes, thousands of tapes. He's walking around feeling this feeling of I can't ever pay back. And then he chopped the vort. That's pshat in Matnas Chinam. Okay. Have a good night.